Okay. So this week is Parshas Netzavim, and the title of today's shiur is The Lies That We Tell Ourselves. There's a series of psukim in this week's Parsha that address somebody who is in some way trying to rationalize whatever it is that he wants to do, and how the psukim are translated. Each translation yields a slightly different meaning, you know, about the idea of self-deception. So we'll take a look at the pasuk. Pasuk is, hold on, my notes here, my computer disappeared. Let's go back for a second. So the pasuk is as follows. It's in Perichos Tes, Pasuk Yudzayin. And it says, right after Moshe gives the introduction, that there's going to be klalos. There are going to be curses for people that don't fulfill the agreement, the bris, that the Jewish people have made. And it says, Penyesh b'chan ish or isha, maybe there's a man or a woman or mishpacha or shevet, asher levavo pone hayom, that his heart is turning today. Miyam Hashem Elokeinu. And it says, Penyesh b'chan shorish pora rosh v'la'ana. Maybe there's a root that's growing a bitter or poisonous poisonous seed. So in other words, within the Jewish people, or perhaps within the person's own psyche, there is an aspect that is poisonous, and it's a root that's going to grow and obviously make problems. And then Pasuk Yud-Ches says, Rohayo b'sham o'os divrei ha'Allah hazos, when he hears this curse, he blesses himself in his heart, meaning he's countering the curse. Even though he hears there's a curse, he says to himself another story. He says, no, I'm okay. I'm okay. Lamor saying, it's going to be fine for me. All these curses and everything, it's really going to be fine. I'm going to be okay. I'll go the way I want to go. I'll go the direction of my desires, according to some of the Farshim. I'll go the way I think, whatever it is, I'll go the way I want to go. And then the end part of the pasuk, which is difficult to translate, Laman Sfos Harala Sasmeya, in order to add on those who are satisfied to those that are thirsty. So obviously it's some kind of metaphor. It's an idiom. We don't know exactly what it's saying, right? So if you look at Rashi bases himself on the Unklus, right? Unklus says, "Bedil la'osef Allah chet e shalusa al zdanusa," in order to add on even shogeg onto Mazed, even inadvertent sins onto purposeful sins. What does that mean? Rashi explains is that the satisfied raja satisfaction is in some ways representative of shogeg, because the person doesn't do the avera from a sense of desire. He's satisfied. He doesn't really need this. He just does the avera, the shogeg, inadvertently. And then tshneya, the thirst, refers to someone who does an avera with a taiva, someone who does it, on purpose. So therefore, we have a situation where the person who is rationalizing and telling himself, I can do what I want, the curses don't apply to me. So according to Rashi and according to Unklus, the Torah is saying, if you do that, if you have that kind of attitude that you don't care, then Hashem is going to count even your shogeg, like it's a neved, even your inadvertent sins, Hashem is going to count as if you intended. Because you know what? You don't care anyway. If a person doesn't want to do averas, and then accidentally do an avera, so, you know, the point would be, well, the person didn't mean to. But if, on the other hand, a person wants to do averas anyway, so if they do something accidentally, it's counted also like it's on purpose, because it didn't come from a will to be observant. So that's the way Rashi learns. Ibn Ezra learns a little differently. He learns sefos means to add on also, like Rashi. But he learns that the person tells himself, I'm going to be fine. The Rava, the person is satisfied, that's a tzaddik. The Tzameya is the Rasha, is someone who is starving. And he's saying that the zechus of the tzaddik should cover up and nullify the sins of the Rasha. So the Rasha thinks to himself, as he's hearing these curses, he says, listen, it's not really going to happen to me because plenty of the other people are righteous. So they will end up getting the merit and it will flow over to me. And similarly, the Kli Yakar learns in that way too, that imagine you have a field and one field is already watered anyway and the other fields are not. You have to water the other fields, you water this field too. So even though he's saying, I don't deserve it, and already, you know, I deserve not to have blessings, I'll get the blessings because the other people are getting the blessings. So that's the rationalization according to the Kli Yakar and according to Ibn Ezra. Now, the Ramban says, I would say, he understands the rationalization, I think, in a way that addicts can certainly relate to. So again, it's basically the same idea, right, which is that the person is hearing these curses, he's blessing himself in his heart, meaning he's saying, I'm not going to suffer because, you know, the curses really aren't going to apply to me for whatever reason. It's not going to happen to me. And here's what the Ramban has to say about that. Ramban says, "Kishayishma achirim miskalim baloseiler." When he hears these curses, who is baruch lemachshavto? He blesses himself in his thinking. V'yomer b'libo shalom yehli. I'll be okay. Kashayim et metavas libi. If I go in the way of my desires, Hashem. But the Torah says Hashem lo yislach lo, or Hashem is not going to forgive the person who says that. But the point is, what is he thinking? He says, I'm not going to accept the curses. In order to have the curses, you have to in some way originally agree. I'm going to keep quiet, and I'm not going to really agree to these curses. And then, what's going to happen? So the Ramban says the person starts out with a taiva that's pretty much in a state of satisfaction. The person starts out with a taiva. With a taiva, he has a lot of desire for something. But what will happen is that the desire for things will increase to the point where he's going to feel desire for things that people normally will be satisfied with. In other words, what the Ramban is talking about is tolerance, right? One of the hallmarks of addiction is that the addict develops a tolerance for whatever substance or process that he engages in. And because he develops a tolerance for that substance or process, he needs increasing amounts of the same substance or process to reach the level of satisfaction that he had before. So he has to up his ante, right? So if it's alcohol, if he would be able to take so much to get drunk and feel good, now he has to take even more. Or if it's looking at pornography, then what happens is the person has to look at more and more perverse and twisted forms of pornography, or eventually engage in more and more forms of extreme sexual behavior in order to get the same thrill. And the Ramban says this explicitly. It's amazing. He says over here, "Ki nefesh ha'adam harava the soul of a person who's satisfied, doesn't really want evil things. He doesn't desire evil things. When he gets a little taiva, and then he fulfills his desire, then he gets an increased taiva. And then he wants it even more than before. Not only that, he will want even more evil things that he didn't want originally. And then he goes on to say, as an example, this is the Ramban. This was written a little bit less than 1,000 years, about 900 years ago. Someone who desires to be sexual with beautiful women, when he steeps himself in this immoral behavior, tivo'ehu taiva, it will come to him a desire. Love al zachar, to engage in, he says over here, homosexuality, vala behema, and even on an animal, even bestiality. You could also do that. And I'm going to comment about homosexuality in a minute, because there are some comments we need to make about that. But leaving that alone for a minute, what he's saying over here is that basically the addict and the person that indulges needs more and more. And as he starts with one desire, more is going to come. So Laman Shvos, Rava Tzmeya means Rava is a situation where he's relatively satisfied, and Tzmeya is when he's thirsty. And that if this person rationalizes and says to himself, this is not a problem, I don't really need to follow these curses, I'm going to be fine. He's going to engage in first just tasting some of these things, and the taste is going to lead him more and more. And pretty soon, he's going to be starving and thirsty for things that normally he would have no desire for. And the level of perversity and the level of desire will increase and increase. Now, here's the thing. It's very important to understand. For whatever reason, the Chachamim of other generations did not see homosexuality as a stage in psychosexual development. They didn't see it as a discrete thing. They saw it as any one of the other types. Person could have a desire for all kinds of sexual behaviors, whether it's adultery, or homosexuality or bestiality, and these are all just considered immoral and depraved ways of expressing human sexuality outside the confines of a loving monogamous relationship. So the feeling that they had, they didn't categorize homosexuality in that way. And in that sense, they're correct. Meaning, leaving alone for whatever reason why there are individuals that have either very strong homosexual desires, or making marriage more complicated, exclusive homosexual desires. Meaning, they don't desire women at all; they only desire men. And that is a certain psychosocial, psychosexual challenge that may have to do with a degree their sexual history and development, and may also have to do with some innate qualities. But that's not what the Ramban is referring to over here, because the Ramban is talking about a person that's a Baal Taiva who progresses from mild sexual immoral behavior to greater and greater extents, and he reaches a point where he'll do anything to satisfy his desire and craves novelty. So it's just important to understand, I'm not wading into the whole issue around homosexuality and what it is. it's important to understand that what the Ramban is talking about. The Ramban is talking about a heterosexual man whose orientation, whose sexual orientation is heterosexual. And Ramban didn't have a concept, or at least didn't speak about a concept of a person that had a homosexual orientation. So that's a construct of our culture and our society, and it's a construct of many cultures and societies, which is a separate discussion, but the Ramban had no comment about that. What the Ramban is talking about is a regular heterosexual who, because he's indulging in his desires, craves greater and greater stimulation and greater novelty, and that will lead him experiment and try all kinds of immoral acts, including homosexuality, including ultimately even bestiality. It's just not a comment about homosexuality as what people talk about today as if somebody who feels he's gay. It's just another discussion, and I don't want people to be distracted by it. At the same time, I want to be sensitive to the fact that there could be people who are listening to this year who may be grappling with such a problem. And if you are grappling with that problem, I want to assure you that the Ramban is not talking about you, particularly in this aspect. You might also be a person who engages in compulsive sexual behavior, who craves more and more novelty. And in that sense, the Ramban is talking to you. But he's not talking to you in a sense that he has a particular comment about people who are, quote, gay. You know, whatever that means, he's just simply not discussing that. He's talking about the pattern of needing more and more novelty and more sexual stimulation. In any case, so that's the Ramban, which I think is, you know, quite fascinating in terms of how it connects to the process of a person that gets caught up in a web of compulsive sexual behavior. Now, Rabbeinu Bachaye, he learns like the Ramban, and he adds a piece, which I think is very important. He says the same thing like the Ramban, but he goes on to say an observation. And the observation is as follows. Then Hushalmu Razal, this is what a Chachamim said, Tirhuri Avera Kashim Avera, that actually the thought of sin is in some ways worse than the sin. Now, it's important to understand that when they say that, they're talking about something metaphysical. In reality, if one sins, they've committed a far greater avera than one who has not done the act of a sin, even though they've thought about sin, even if they've had thoughts about sin that are forbidden. Right? Generally speaking, our thoughts are not forbidden. We can think anything we want. However, there are certain prohibitions. In fact, there's an article on the Dorothy Rice website that I wrote about forbidden thoughts, which people can look for if they want to. But one of the forbidden thoughts is sexual thoughts. One is not allowed to dwell on sexual thoughts, of course, outside of being engaged in permitted sexual behavior. Then that would be counterproductive. For most normal people, they wouldn't be able to function in normal sexual behavior if they didn't allow themselves to think sexual thoughts then with the person that they're engaged with. But that's a whole other story. But generally speaking, you're forbidden from having sexual thoughts. So nevertheless, even though really the act is far more forbidden than the thought, in some aspect, in some metaphysical dimension, the Chachamim say that the thought of an Avera is worse than the Avera. And here's why. Rabbeinu Bachaye says, "Ufisha hir her hazeh yotu be'pu'uva," because the thought will eventually come out. "Umizgala beguf," and it will eventually reveal itself to the body. "Balken yekashin Avera below hir," and it's far worse than an Avera that one does impulsively without having thought of it. Because someone who, let's say, momentarily succumbs to something with no premeditation, at that moment they didn't have a bad thing. It's a very bad thing. And on the books, it's worse, the physical act of the avera. However, one who's dwelling and thinking about averas, it will eventually lead them to sin, and they'll sin far worse, and not only that, they will have the whole corrupted thought process that leads to the sin. Now, how does that relate to this pasuk? Rabbeinu Bachaye says, that's what it means when it says, "Laman sos harava ala tmeya." They're talking about the thought process and the shorish poa rosh v'la'ano. The person is rationalizing and saying, "I'm going to be fine because I didn't do anything.
all I'm doing is thinking. And I'm going to be fine. So, but you're not going to be fine because you've already laid the groundwork for what's going to ultimately be a downfall, because you put, your thoughts are going to lead to an expression of sin, and not only lead to an expression of sin, but then all along the way, you'll have been preoccupied, your mind will be preoccupied with the sin, and then it would culminate in an act, and that's why the thoughts are worse. So that's what the pasuk is talking about. The guy blesses himself in his heart and said, I'm going to be fine. It's not a big deal. Nothing's going to happen to me. And then he thinks whatever he wants to think, but that already is the bitter root that's going to grow into something terrible. So, and that's what the Ben Machiah says. And of course, again, you know, this relates a great deal to addictive compulsive behavior, because we know, right, that once a person is in the throes of their desire, it's nearly impossible to pull back at that point. And the greater the person gets engaged in that kind of thinking, the almost it's inevitable, right? So, you know, as the saying goes, a person loses their sobriety, right, way before their first drink, because already the thought process becomes corrupted, right? And there's a, from the, if you want to look on page 23 of the 12 Steps and the 12 Traditions, just says an interesting quote here, which I think is very relevant. It says, by going back on our own drinking histories, of course, you can substitute drinking with any addictive substance or process that you engage in. By going back in our own drinking histories, we could show that years before we realized it, we were out of control. That our drinking, even then, was no mere habit. That it was indeed the beginning of a fatal progression. That is Laman Sosa Rava Sesmeha. That is Shorosh Parah Rosh Velano. That is exactly what the pasuk is referring to in this piece. If you just hold on, I'm going to set up the recording, and we can talk about what's coming up in the coming weeks in terms of the schedule.